Chris Brain on 960 The Ref.
All right, back here on the morning show, presented by St. Mary's Medical Group. Dave and Logan along with you. By the way, coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, we'll play Who's That Dog for a chance to win a $25 gift card to the UGA bookstore. I've got our latest pack of football cards that I'll open, and we'll come up with a Who's That Dog.
We will make a connection somehow.
Out of this pack of cards.
Hopefully we just have like a former dog. It makes it easy.
If it's a former dog, that's even better.
Otherwise,
we had to improvise last week. We had Russell Wilson, and who was the other one we had?
Trubisky.
That's right, Mitchell Trubisky.
It was basically who has been dogged amongst these two.
And I predict, not going to be wrong, but I predict if we don't have a dog in this pack of cards, there's going to be someone who's been dogged.
That's a safe bet.
So there. Russ Tanner also in the studio with us. And one of Russ's good friends, former teammate, good buddies, man in his wedding. I guess both ways, is that right?
Yeah.
Both weddings? David Pollack will be along with us here on the phone at 8:15.
Awesome.
That's right.
With College Game Day in town. Thanks for lining that up, Russ.
Yeah, yeah. It's, you know, a lot of
hard. Would you consider him one of your best friends?
Me and Pollack?
Yeah.
We go way back.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, when we've been friends since our junior in high school, started taking visits together. We're roommates in college. Our kids do stuff together now. We see them on a regular basis.
So, yeah, I remember David Pollack. I did not play high school football, but he was a fullback over at Shiloh, and he ran through the Berkmar Patriots like a knife through butter, man.
Did you? Now, he and David Green were connected, weren't they?
They played youth football together.
Did they really? Yeah. Do we know that?
We've seen the photo.
100%.
I always wanted to ask him or Greeny.
Do you know?
Do you guys ever get asked about that? Yeah,
just a little bit.
Well, Russ, man, great to see you. How are you feeling about tomorrow night?
like everybody, man, really excited, ready for it to get here. But I can tell you, man, my stomach is going to be in a dadgum knot by the time 8 o'clock gets here tomorrow night.
That's how we all are. Yeah, it's,
you know, I mean, this is big. You know, that's not a hot take.
Where's the horn? That's where me as a Georgia fan, and all of us are, obviously, but the inner Larry Munson in all of us, just I guess when we get closer and closer to game time, I speak for myself, I start going through the worst-case scenarios when I'm so excited and optimistic this whole week. Listen, my upper lip is stained with Kool-Aid right now from what I've been hearing all over the place this week. But as it gets closer, I start getting nervous, too.
Well, Notre Dame is a really good team. I mean, you know, they're ranked – what are they ranked? Seven? Yep. Eight? Something like that?
Number seven.
So, I mean, they're coming in. It's a huge matchup. It is the game of the week. I mean, arguably – so up until this point, the game of the year. I mean, look on the schedule for all of college football and find a game that's going to be more hyped and bigger national implications. Maybe LSU, Alabama, if they're both undefeated when they play in a little bit. But otherwise, man, this is it. I mean, this is the creme de la creme, the Fighting Irish, the boys from South Bend, Newt Rockne, you know, all these guys, traditions coming down. They're coming down between the hedges. Vince Dooley's going to be there. Herschel Walker's on the sideline. Tim Brown's going to be in town. Like, you have got – this is like a royal wedding, man. Yeah. I mean, this is big.
That's a great way to put it.
And it's why the guys come to Georgia. It's why the guys come to Notre Dame. You come to play in games like this. You know, nobody cares about Arkansas State or the Murray State Red Racers, whatever they're called. Like, you know, that junk don't move the needle. Like, this is big time. This is huge.
Yeah, we don't get another – Power 5 non-conference opponent in Sanford Stadium other than Tech.
We don't count them as Power 5, though.
Until UCLA rolls in here in, what, 26?
2026. Really? There is an opening in 2023.
Maybe,
fingers crossed that something may fall there. But
as of now,
no guarantees.
We don't get another Power 5 non-conference home game other than Tech until UCLA in 26.
Yeah. So, you know, you look at this matchup. Georgia has better players. Georgia is a better team. They're playing at home. Everything stacks up in their favor. But if you think for a second Notre Dame can't beat the University of Georgia tomorrow night, you have gone too far away from the months and days of everybody can beat us.
And it's one of those things like, well, if they play 10 times, Georgia would win 9 out of 10 or 8 out of 10. It's like, they ain't playing 10 times.
They ain't
playing once.
I mean, upsets happen. The ball's bounced the wrong way. Momentum is a real thing. And they've got players, man. Ian Book is a doggone player. Trust me on this. He can get it. You know, I was looking at some of the stats right here. said he leads Power 5 quarterbacks in yards per completion. My man is averaging 19 yards a completion.
Yeah.
If you don't put pressure on him and you allow him to stand back there, they've got wide receivers, and Ian Book will play in the NFL. Like,
and he's a guy too. If you know, he'll take off. He's a backbreaker too, because he can take off, and you think you've got the play defended. Next thing you know, he scrambled for 10 yards.
Yep. So I'm ready, man. You know, it's not like days of yore in Georgia football where you're worried about a letdown, you're worried about team not performing when the lights are bright, because the lights are going to be bright, either red or white. They're going to be there.
Yeah,
I was going to say that, too. Sort of the mind shift that I think a lot of Georgia fans have had is it used to be where you'd think, like, oh, my God, we have to play Notre Dame. I'm shifting more to the thought that Notre Dame's got to come in and play this Georgia team, and that is a really good team they're about to face.
And they're nervous, brother.
Absolutely.
I'm going to tell you right now, they're nervous. I mean, Georgia's going to be amped, and you're going to have butterflies as players getting ready for that game, but Notre Dame's not sure what they're about to line up against. I've been in that situation where you're going against a team that you think is outmatching you physically against, you know, in an environment that is hostile, to say the least. Mm-hmm. I mean, this atmosphere is going to match the 2007 blackout Auburn. You know, game time
one.
Situation. That I mean, that's the rock, and that's the most rocking I've ever seen Sanford Stadium. Tomorrow night's going to be like that. It's going to be tough on Notre Dame. So, you know, but hey, they're really good.
And the thing about Notre Dame, though, is that they're like Kentucky basketball. Whenever they go on the road, it's always that team's biggest game of the year. So they're used to this. Now, this may be really over the top. I mean, if we're really going to see 100,000 extra people in town that don't have tickets, which just seems incredible.
But how do we come up with that number, by the way? Like, I would like to be the guy who's in charge of that.
I know.
Like, what do you think? 50? No, not 50. 7 million, that's probably high. 111,000 people. Perfect. Put that out. And now all of us Georgia fans are like, did you hear that? They said 70,000 people with no tickets coming to town. My wife said, who is they, you big dummy? Yeah. I don't know. But that's what they said, and that's what we're going with.
We're going with they. We had someone email in and said they had seen some kind of – potential confirmation from some potential person that could confirm
from they. They know who they is.
Turns out to be
that's amazing.
They. Exactly.
I am they.
Yes, I don't know. Well, here's the thing. We can all agree.
A lot.
No matter how many extra people are going to be here, it's going to be kind of an epic weekend of extra folks, right?
Yeah.
Right, Russ?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you took everybody in Wrightsville and put them up here
– that would add like 2,000 people to the crowd.
We're probably going to have more than that, right?
Just a tick.
Yeah. So you could take Johnson County. What's next to Johnson? What county's next to Johnson County?
Washington, Lawrence.
Take every county around Johnson County that touches Johnson County, and it still is going to be more than that, right?
Way more.
So,
way more.
Yeah. So anyway, that's going to be – it's going to be – I mean, like I said – the widespread panic party in 1998 was pretty crazy. I think this is going to top that. I'm just going out on a limb with all of that.
The Tanner clan will not be venturing to the downtown of the Classic City tonight. I've got a feeling I don't need to take my 7-year-old and 8-year-old son and my 10-year-old daughter to see what's happening.
Come on by the pigs ahead of me and Coach Donovan.
Yeah.
6-8, University Tire and Automotive's Bulldog Friday night. It's going to be pretty wild. I think we're going to have David Pollock on here in just a moment. And like you said, you and David go way back.
Yeah, I've got mutual buddies texting us. I don't even know if Logan has us in the system, but he says we need to play. It's a great day to be alive. A little Travis Tritt. Y'all got that in the system?
Well,
you don't have Travis Tritt.
Well, the thing is, we don't have our country station's in the other building, so all the country music is in a different computer. But we got it. We can find it.
Well, we'll see. There's all.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
We'll play that.
Logan's talking now. I don't know what he's doing.
Yeah, he's on the phone getting everything lined up. But, yeah, that's a good sign. Travis Tritt, maybe he'll be the guest picker tomorrow.
Who are we going with? I heard y'all talking. Are we thinking Herschel?
I'd love for it to be Herschel. Just with all right, so.
Maybe we can ask Pollock. If he spills the beans.
That would be great.
We can break some news.
And Herschel's never done it.
Yeah.
So, and then, of course, with the Notre Dame tie-in and everything else, it seems like it would set up that way.
Hey,
but
speaking
one's asking me.
Speaking of Pollock, good morning, David. You got it? You there?
Good morning. Hold on.
Hey.
I was just asking our producer over here that runs the show over here if it was public who our guest picker was.
Oh, well, is it public?
No, it's not public.
So you this is just me and you, roommates here on.
Yeah, there's no one listening, David. It's just you and Russ.
I can only answer yes or no questions.
Could you tell us what it rhymes with?
what it sounds like?
Does it rhyme with Smershal or Boldger?
No, it does not.
Oh, interesting.
Okay. All right. Well, that's something to think about. That's... Hey, David, what's it like for you personally having game day just down the road from where you live? Because I was trying to think, what was it for you in 2013?
It was the same thing, yeah. Man. It's crazy because I woke up, like, I was hanging out with my wife last night, and I was like, well, this is just weird because usually I'd already be in a hotel room and thinking about next week, and I was thinking about the show the next day and stuff, and now I'm right next to work, and I'm going to work tomorrow, and it's very strange. It's very cool. Get more family time, and cool to come back to campus and see here and stuff. Because me and Russ, we're getting ancient, so we don't even know what half the stuff looks like around here. But man, it's a blessing to have a home game. First thing I did Sunday was text Kirby, but I said thanks, bro. I need more home games. So if you can make this happen, that'd be great.
David Pollock joining us here from just down the road. And I know you got a busy day, so thank you for taking a few minutes, and we do appreciate that. This is, as far as game days are concerned, where does this one kind of rank? Because if it's true, I mean, just even getting from 316, you know, from where you live to Athens tomorrow, I've got friends of mine coming from Atlanta. They're saying they're going to leave like 2 extra hours early just to get to Athens. I don't know what it's going to be like on the set for you guys tomorrow, but it should be crazy.
Well, we're used to crazy.
Yeah.
So that's not something that's abnormal. I mean, everywhere we go, you know, went to Austin a couple weeks ago, and you know, they hadn't been there in 10 years. About like Georgia, it's been a long time since 2013 for Georgia. So I think when you haven't been to a place in a while, it gets nuts. And even when you go to places too that you haven't been ever. We got last week with Iowa State. There was so many. There was 100,000 plus people hanging around outside, and you just how on earth? What are these people doing? You know, I mean. So I think it's always fun. It's always cool. You get to see the spirit of the fans, and you get to see how excited they are for the team. You get to see some of the community and how they respond and react and stuff. So it's always really, really cool. And I don't think it's going to be any different. And it's always cool for people to see what you got. Like, this is a representation of Georgia, and this is when people watch the show, they're gonna be like, Georgia fans are crazy, they just showed out, you know. And it's a cool way to represent your school by being a part of the show and showing what you got.
Well, you know Pollock knows and Kirby knows that recruiting is what it's all about.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, you got to think about that coming in this weekend, the amount of national attention that Georgia's getting from the Wear Pink for Wendy stuff to now game day coming in. You know, it's great. And, you know, we're really fortunate. I'm not blowing his horn here. Trust me. I'm never one to publicly, you know, say something nice about my old roommate here. But to have guys like Pollock and Maria Taylor, you know, yep. on TV is great for university. So
sure.
it's a good thing. All right, Pete. So enough of all the niceties and all that stuff. So when we look at right now the matchup on the field tomorrow, obviously Georgia's a big favorite. Everybody feels great about that. Think about it from the other side for a second. I saw the stat last night. Georgia's offensive line is what? Average 330 pounds? Is that what I saw?
Yeah. And, they're not small.
And, you know, they look at the other one. They said that Notre Dame's D-line averages 275. That's skewed because you got some DNs that are smaller guys that
sure.
are speed guys. But, you know, Pollock, think about it from their side. You know, you weren't the biggest guy. You weren't 330 pounds. You played against some big cats. You know, what are those guys thinking? I mean, how is Notre Dame's defensive line getting ready? Because there's not a lot of secrets what Kirby and Coach Pittman and Coley are going to do on offense. I mean, here come the hosses downhill. I mean, what is Notre Dame's guys going to do?
Well, I tell you what, it's also been a struggle for Notre Dame because they've given up 200-plus rushing the last three games. So it's been an issue for them. You saw it in the Clemson game in the semifinal when Clemson was running the ball all over the place, and you've seen it already this season for Notre Dame in their two contests. They're not overly big. And inside of the defensive tackle spot, I don't think they have a lot of answers. That's the weakness, I think, of their defense. And you're talking about having a bunch of gorillas up front for Georgia. They're just a bunch of – I mean, Ben Cleveland and these guys are just mammoths, and they're studs. So they're going to have to find an answer, and the answer is going to be simple. It's going to be how are they going to bring pressure. You know, I think Pride on the outside, number 5 at the cornerback for them, is a really big stud. I think they'll leave him on an island. But Notre Dame in the past, when we watch this team, it's always been a bend but don't break defense. If they want to do that to Georgia, they're going to get broken really quickly. They're going to have to be more aggressive, and they're going to have to bring more bodies to the line of scrimmage. And let's be honest, too, with Georgia, how do you beat Georgia? You want to make them pass the football. You want to find out how good they are on the outside. Demetrius Robinson's still banged up. Kirsch got banged up week one. Who's, you know, I Pickens and Blaylock look good on the outside, but if I'm Notre Dame, I want to see how good the chemistry is between Jake Fromm and his receivers. I'm crowding the line of scrimmage. I'm bringing more bodies. And that being said, now you got to tackle DeAndre Swift. So, I mean, it is a tough, tough proposition for this offense, and you kind of got to pick your poison. But if I'm Notre Dame, I'm going out swinging aggressively. I'm not going to let them, you know, dink and dunk or pound the rock at me all the way down the field.
How good is Ian Book?
Ian Book, he's really good. Now, sometimes he looks like one of the better quarterbacks in the country, and sometimes he looks very average. If you watch the Louisville game, first half, he looked kind of average. But the one thing Ian Book can do to hurt Georgia is Ian Book can run, and not just run to run. He's averaging 11 attempts a game on the ground this year, which is way up from a year ago. He can also scramble and buy time to get his receivers more time to get open. Ian Book's a really, really good athlete. I don't think people realize how good of an athlete he is. And he holds all the keys because he's going to be the one that has to run it himself and buy time to make plays and be accurate with the football. There's no one in college football who's going to be asked to play. Like, if he plays really, really good, Notre Dame has a shot. If he plays average, it's a beatdown. Like, that's how big of a difference. He's going to have to play better than anybody in the country to get a win.
David, I heard you talk earlier this week about how Georgia's secondary is now better than it's been in several years. That opens up options to kind of get pressure on the quarterback. Also seen you and a lot of other people glow about this number four, Nolan Smith, and how special he is. But what does Georgia have in the possibility of maybe causing havoc on Ian Book this weekend?
Oh, my God. Four is a man. That dude, I'll tell you what, man, and Russ knows this. I mean, it doesn't take much to get me excited about defensive linemen, but yeah. I love guys that get after the quarterback. I like guys that play the game like it's supposed to be played, that compete at a high level, that don't care about helping the other guy up. Like, me and Russ went against each other plenty. I don't need to help Russ up. He's not on my team when I'm in practice, bro. He wears red, I wear white.
We were not friends during practice.
No! Like, and that's how it should be. And Nolan Smith, like, he's got something about it. I'm just telling you. First of all, he's got stone hands. I mean, you see him bull rushing people now, and he's a pup on campus for the first time, and he's stoning people with his hands and just running over offensive tackles. I just love the way he plays. He competes. The reason I thought Georgia could win a national title this year, and the reason I thought this defense was special, is because I think the ability to get pressure on the quarterback and get tackles for a loss. What has won national titles since the implementation of the college football playoff? If you can't get tackles for a loss and can't get sacks, you're not in the conversation. You have to be in the top five, top ten in the country. Nobody has won it outside of that. And a year ago, Georgia had 24 sacks on the season. They got 12 right now through three games. And by the way, don't give me the crap of, oh, they played Murray State, blah, blah, blah. Last year was Middle Tennessee State, South Carolina, and some other Little Sisters of the Poor. Then they had one. They had one through three games. So it's just, it looks different. It feels different. They can cover in the back end with more guys. Just like Tyson Campbell's banged up. Like last year, Tyson Campbell was banged up early in the season. You had no clue what you had because he was your starting corner. I think you got four starting corners at the University of Georgia now.
All right. I know we're getting up on our time here, so I've got a few things to hash out with Pollock.
Let's do it.
Hash them out, man.
David Michael Pollock. Are you willing to admit on air that you still owe me approximately $400 for a Waffle House trip in 2007?
This is debatable, Russ, okay? I mean, I don't know.
Chick-fil-A gift cards are not cash as a way of repayment.
Can I ask you a question? Did you use those Chick-fil-A gift cards?
Listen, stop going off topic and ask the question.
Shane Todd involved?
Look, Shane Todd is the problem. We show up at a Waffle House in Destin because my man had just made like $11 million as a signable to NFL. He's a boys trip. I'm broke. We show up. We order like $500 a Waffle House. It's just me and him. And left in there, and he's like, oh, Rusty, I forgot my wallet. Can you get us? Like, I've got a Bank of Wrightsville credit card with a $500 limit for the week. And we get back, and I was like, look, dog, you got to pay me back. He's like, yeah, yeah, I got you. I was like, no, I'm for real. You got to pay me back. And then what'd you pay me back in, Pollock? Tell the truth.
I paid you back at least $700 worth of Chick-fil-A. You're welcome.
I mean, that's money to me, man. That's valuable. I love
where,
it.
Where are you taking the guy? Are you taking the crew out to host anywhere around town, Athens this weekend, taking them to eat anywhere?
No, it would have been at the house, but we just moved, and my wife's not settled in. And you know my wife, just like Shelly, it's,
she's not in control of anything.
if it ain't settled in and it ain't, and we are not in the house like she wants to be, she's like, yeah, no company this weekend. So I think they'll find their way around town, hopefully.
Well, David, it is very nice of you to take a few minutes. I know this is like the weekends are always great because it's college football, but I know for you it's extra special being back here in Athens this weekend. And I know it's going to be crazy, crazy on campus for you guys, but it's a fun kind of crazy. So, again, thanks for doing this. And, you know, we're going to have to let you and Russ hash out all this this Waffle House.
That water's way under the bridge.
I'm just going to let Russ say thank you as I go off air. Just thank you for giving me all the Chick-fil-A gift cards. You're welcome, Russ.
We'll see you over on campus, David. Thanks so much.
See you guys. Love
later.
You, Rusty.
Later, all baby. Right.
See you.
That's great. What did he just call you?
Rusty.
Oh, Rusty, okay. What'd you call him?
I said later, Tater.
Oh, later, Tater. Okay, all right. Thought y'all had some kind of nickname thing going here.
Look, man. Yeah. Look, this is how far me and him get back. We were in McQuarter Hall. Our remote on our TV broke. We were out of money. We didn't have money to go buy another remote for the TV. We were also too lazy to get up and change the channel because you had to do it. So you
know
what we did?
That's not an option.
We went and found a bamboo stand and cut down a pole so we could sit on the couch and change the channel up and down with our bamboo pole.
That is what I'm talking about. That is college at its finest. Hey, I'm going to ask the question that all of our listeners want to know real quick, though. Yeah. Will you please walk me through a two-person $500 order from Waffle House? What on earth did you guys order?
It don't matter. Well, it wasn't just two people. We had like four, but it was. I mean, we had like double waffles, bacon, and sausage. Everybody got chocolate milk and coffee.
So you said this was literally right after he had signed his contract with the Bengals.
He had bought a house in Destin. He had a beach house.
So that's what y'all were doing down
there. We had a guy's
love
trip.
It was
that's awesome.
Love it.
He had to pick me up the rest of the week, though, because my credit card was maxed out after Waffle House, baby.
Bank of Wrightsville. That's awesome.
See, no one else is getting that kind of story,
no,
right?
This is ours.
This is why we love Russ, and we're really happy that David joined us. All right, I've already gotten two more emails while we were talking wanting to know about the Notre Dame recruiting visit.
What do we say? We're going to hit that in the bottom
we'll
half
do it
of the
when
hour?
Come, yeah, when we come back. I was going to ask him, too, and I know we ran out of time. I'll ask you this. Jake Fromm's one of these guys where you see his name in these mock drafts for next year very, very high up on the lists. And if he played in a different system, not that he doesn't have good numbers now, but if he were at Oklahoma, Ohio State, whatever, would he have those video game numbers
Probably not Ohio State because theirs is a different system.
Yeah.
I mean, well, I don't know. Dwayne Haskins was not a running quarterback.
Exactly.
He did well.
Yeah.
Oklahoma, yeah. I mean, if it was Oklahoma, he'd be passing for 450 yards a game.
Yeah.
Because he's accurate. We had a big discussion argument last night with my with our 8-year-old football coaches about how good Fromm was.
Yeah.
We came down to he's probably a second round quarterback right now. So we'll see. I think this is our last year with Jake Fromm at University of Georgia.
Hey, let me just ask because I've had speculation. I don't have an opinion one way or another, but could a player like George Pickens maybe convince Fromm to stick around one more year and rack up some stats and up that ante?
I think it's according to what happens this year, honestly. Yeah. I mean, if we take this thing to the house, we put a trophy in the case.
Oh, yeah, then he's gone.
I think he's gone.
Absolutely.
But if we're really good again and really close, he sees the talent that is now accumulated around him,
That's where my mind
he could be
is,
back.
Is
so.
What if?
Yeah.
Let's hope we get scenario one, though.
Yep. But I guarantee you Kirby Smart's going to recruit Jake Fromm this year.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a very good point. Because it worked out for him when he got Sony and Chubb to come back.
Yes, it did.
Yep.
And the guys on defense, too.
That wide receiving core is getting pretty darn impressive, man.
All right, we'll take a quick break. Thanks again to David Pollock for joining us. You can find him on campus all weekend long. And I didn't realize he'd moved. Is he still in the same kind of area?
Yeah, same area.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Georgia Club wouldn't let him build a basketball gym.
Not a court, but a gym.
Yeah, he's got a really nice basketball court and gym at his house now.
That's awesome. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. Russ will tell us about his trip to South Bend in what year would that have been?
2000.
2000, almost 20 years ago. Does that make you feel old?
It does.
Crazy stuff. It's a great story.
Peace be with you.
That's right. All right, it's 8:30.
60 The Ref.
Welcome back in the morning show. The Friday, the 20th edition, which means tomorrow, Notre Dame traveling into Athens to play Between the Hedges for the very first time. I'm Logan, that's Dave, along with our man Russ Tanner, as we are every Friday during football season for Radio Magic.
AthensLender.com.
AthensLender.com.
AthensLender.com. AthensLender.com.
Thank you.
Yeah, Prime Lending, Russ Tanner, AthensLender.com.
If you're not visiting that website right now, ask yourself, what are you doing with your life right now?
With your mortgage life.
With your mortgage
life. There you go.
We are already getting requests, like making sure that I'm going to upload the last segment, which will be up shortly after 9. I'm going to put this entire hour into one podcast segment, 960theref.com, in case you missed any of the gold that we just had in the first segment, joined by David Pollock. That was pretty awesome, by the way.
So. And as Russ said, the way to get a $500 tab at Waffle House is to drink a lot of chocolate milk.
Chocolate milk is what gets you, man.
I didn't realize how expensive that was.
Yeah, the upcharge on the beverages at Waffle House is what gets you.
And I'm sure they got a good tip.
I don't know.
I
was worried about my credit card limit.
Was the tip a Chick-fil-A gift card?
No, because he had those with him. Those were back at the house.
Great stuff. All right, so we've had a lot of people asking about the Russ Tanner recruiting story. Now, a lot of folks listening to us have certainly heard the story, but it's a great one. And did you know that this was going to take on like this, you know, this, what am I trying to say? Just this tale of epic proportions, easy for me to say.
Well, you know.
Because Logan doesn't know the story.
This will be a first for me.
Really?
Yeah. I'm going to turn my mic off and sit back and enjoy.
When your lineage has legends above you, real life happens, and it's a lot of fun. So, you know, I was able to be a part of something really cool, and I'm glad we get to share that with the world. And if people enjoy it and get ready for a little football because of it, oh, man, that's a good Friday.
It's a good Friday. And I did want to mention before Russ tells the story, because this does involve Mass, that there are going to be a lot of folks that we've asked about, and we had Tim O'Brien on. There will be a service tomorrow at 1 o'clock at the Clark Central Gymnasium.
Really?
Yes.
All right.
It's a lot for the Notre Dame fans that will be coming in, but a lot of the Georgia fans who are also Catholic.
Yeah.
And they said, hey, even if you're not Catholic, you can still come in. You just got to get somebody to show you the Catholic handshake to let you in the door. And if you know the Catholic handshake, then you can come in.
Really?
No,
I don't know the Catholic handshake. All right.
I don't know what that is either. No, but so that's a kind of a neat thing, too. Yeah. It might be for a lot of folks. It might be a good thing to do just to kind of.
Might not be a bad way to break your day up.
Exactly.
Talk to Jesus for a few minutes. It might not be a bad thing to put in your day.
You could start early. You can go to church.
Yeah.
And then you still got 6 more hours till kickoff.
Yeah.
So, something to think about. But anyway, all right, so Russ.
So we're doing it?
Let's do it, man.
All right.
This is a great story.
So to set the stage just a tick, so this would have been the year 2000. I was a senior in high school and was being recruited. You know, the head coach at Notre Dame at the time was Bob Davey. Believe it or not, how crazy this is, my recruiter at Notre Dame was a guy named Urban Meyer.
Who?
He was the wide receivers
I've heard
coach.
Wow.
Yeah. And he actually took the job, I think, at Bowling Green, and their offensive line coach, a guy named Dave Borboli, took over my recruitment. And he had been coming down to Wrightsville a few times. We used to have a big fish fry on Thursday nights before my high school game. Way to prime the pump, man. Fried fish and strawberry shortcake.
That sounds awesome.
At the Red Bug Shack on the back of the Tanarosa. So, you know, I'd been recruited, had a chance at this point, knew I was going to play big-time college football somewhere. Had been lining up my visits, and one of the places that recruited me really hard was Notre Dame. And, you know, as a high school recruit, you know, to be able to look at who Notre Dame was, the history behind it and all that, it was huge to me because I didn't grow up, you know, hopefully nobody gets mad at me here, I didn't grow up a huge Georgia fan necessarily. Mm-hmm. I mean, from Wrightsville, it's hard not to be a fan overall, but I was just a college football fan. I love the sport, love the history of it, all that. So when I had a chance to be recruited by Notre Dame, I was like, heck to the yeah, yeah, we're going to do this. So we played a game in Wrightsville, Georgia, Lovett Field, or Lovett Stadium, Herschel Walker Field, down in beautiful Wrightsville, Georgia, between the China Berries, on a Friday night. We're flying out. And at this point,
who were you playing?
I don't remember.
Oh, okay. All right. Not important.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. We probably beat them. So at this point in my life, by the way, I think I'd only flown one time. That was at the Agorama in Moultrie on one of those, like, pay $10 to fly around the thing time. I'd never flown, really.
Love it.
On a two-seater. So we decide Notre Dame wanted me to come up there to campus and wanted me to take an official visit, which, you know, official visits, if you don't know, they're important because they pay for your whole way. You know, because we weren't driving to Notre Dame on our own dime.
Right.
So we took an official visit up there. It was in November. They were playing Boston College. Now, the reason that's big, does anybody here know why the Boston College Notre Dame game is big?
Well, it's a holy war.
It's the biggest Catholic, they call it the Catholic Bowl, essentially. Yeah. The two biggest Catholic universities in America, you know, that play football anyways, are playing. So we get on the plane, we play a game that night, and get done about 11, and me, my mama, my daddy, we're taking off. You know, so now being from Wrightsville where we are, you know, we are sitting at the gate. I mean, we've already had our breakfast, we've used the bathroom, everything, and it's 2.5 hours before the flight, okay? So just to set the picture, about 2:30 in the morning, we're headed to Atlanta for like an 8 o'clock flight.
Oof.
So we get there, and you know, we land in Notre Dame, South Bend, Indiana, and a little guy picks us up in the Notre Dame van. And he's one of the recruiting couriers, runners, whatever. He's like, "Oh, Mr. and Ms. Tanner Russ, we're so glad you're here today." Said, we're going to go ahead and load you up and take you on the campus. The team is at Mass. We kind of looked around at each other now. I'm 36 years old. I've been Southern Baptist for 37 years. My daddy is a legend. His name is Ed.
The great Ed Tanner.
It's spelled with two D's, okay? He don't play no games. We did not have a Catholic church within 100 miles of us, and to this point in my life, I'd never seen a Catholic. No clue what it was about. So they pick us up, and like, "We are going to Mass." My dad looks at me and he's like, "What is Mass?" I don't know. So we load up in the van. We take off. It's about a 30-minute ride from the airport. We get on campus and pull up this big, beautiful cathedral. Like, he's like, "Okay, guys, we're at Mass." Like, "Oh, church. Why don't you just say church, man? We know church. No problem." So we load up in there. We go inside this big, beautiful cathedral on Notre Dame's campus. Me, Ed, and Kim, we're walking in. We had not met a single guy at Notre Dame other than the coach who recruited me, who'd been to Wrightsville some, and this little kid who picked us up at the airport to take us in. So we walk in this cathedral. It's about 700 yards from us to the guy at the front. We look up at the guy at the very front. He had a headdress and a scepter on. As far as we was concerned, it was the Pope, okay? No offense to anybody. I know he's not the Pope now. I get it. So don't come at me. I'm just telling you.
This is what y'all thought.
We didn't know, man. Yeah. You know, I've been to Union Hill Baptist Church my whole life. You know, we left one time, went to Ivy Baptist for a little bit, but that was about it. So we're sitting there, and there's no amplification, so we can't hear the preacher up there going. He'd say something, they'd stand up. We're looking around. When they stand up, we stand up. We didn't know what was happening. They'd sit down, we'd sit down. They'd stand up and start mumbling something. We couldn't understand what they were saying, so we'd mumble too. Come to find out later, it was in Latin. Who was to know? We ain't speak no Latin in Wrightsville. So this goes on for a while. We're standing up, sitting down. Standing up, sitting down, mumbling some words, trying to act like we're, you know, not a bunch of rednecks from Wrightsville. And it goes on. After about 30 minutes happened, the man says something up front. The entire congregation, probably 300 people in the room, stands up. He bows their head. He says something. They all bow their head and start praying. Like, okay, we know prayer. All right, well, now we're getting somewhere. We understand church now. So heads are bowed, and he says a prayer. And being the fine Southern Baptist that we are, after the man's been preaching for 30 to 35 minutes, you pray, and people start shaking hands. What does that mean? Logan, what does that mean?
It means you're about to...
You're going home,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, you're going home.
Now it's got the chicken frying. We're about to have some rice and gravy.
The cornbread is ready.
That's what I'm saying. It's time to go to the house. Okay? In my church growing up, we had a clock over the back door so the preacher could see it. I mean, you just had to know. So he says a prayer, and everybody starts walking around shaking hands. We're just kind of standing there. We didn't know anybody. Didn't know what to do. We obviously didn't know what was going on, so they started shaking hands. First guy comes up to my dad and shakes his hands. He's with it. And walks away. And my daddy, being, again, the fine Southern gentleman that he is, where we're from, well, my God, if a man shakes your hand, looks you in the eye, well, you better daggum announce yourself. You better reach your hand out. You better give him a good handshake. And you better tell him your name. If not, you ain't no count. My dad thought in his mind, I have royally offended this man. He introduced himself, and I didn't even get a word back. He said he probably don't know what kind of man I am. So he said, I caught the next one. It was like the tight ends coach. He said, I caught him about 10, 20 feet away. He said, I locked in on him eye to eye. My daddy is a diesel mechanic and a farmer, okay?
Yep.
He is 6'5". At the time, he weighed about 280 pounds. His shoulders are 4 feet wide. He is a grown man, okay? Like, he would beat me right now if we had to fight, no doubt in my mind. So he said, I locked on to him eye to eye. He put that hand that's been turning a wrench his whole life. He put it in the holster, baby. He cocked it by his hip, and he wasn't going to let another one slide away from him. So he done locked in eye to eye. He had his hand spread. He was ready. The other man walks up to him. The tight ends coach walks up to him, reaches out, shakes his hand, says, peace be with you. The proper response, peace be with you, does anybody know what that is? And with you.
And with you. Peace be with you also, or whatever.
Well, that's not what he said. The man reached out, shook his hand, looked at my daddy, and said, peace be with you. My dad said, well, I'm Ed Tanner. The guy looked at us so funny, trying to walk off. My daddy looked at us and said, just so y'all know, they are not introducing themselves. So it goes on again for about another 30 minutes in there. And apparently you had to shake everybody's hand and say, peace be with you, not introduce yourself. We didn't know. The guy looked at my dad so funny, sat back down. We're there about another 30 minutes. Stand up, sit down, stand up, sit down. It's time to leave. They start filing out by the guy in the front. I come to find out from some of my Catholic friends later, I think he was a bishop is what I've been told.
Okay.
On the way out, there's probably 300 people in line. We were like 297, 298, and 299 leaving, okay? We were like behind the defensive lineman. On the way out, we got close enough we could see, and he had a big old ring on, like a signet ring. And look, two lines filing past him. He'd hold his ring to the left. That guy'd kiss the ring. He'd wipe it with the holy towel, hold it to the right side. He'd kiss the ring, wipe it with the holy towel. He wouldn't put no Lysol on it. He'd just wipe it with the holy towel. I mean, I get it, but, I mean, that holy towel ain't cleaning the germs off.
No, it's, the holy towel now has the germs.
It had been kissed over 250 times. We get up there about 30 feet away, and I see my daddy kind of cock his head to the side, lean his shoulders down. He kind of gave him the stink eye. And I could tell right then something was about to happen. And I thought to myself, Daddy, don't be acting no kind of way now. Don't cause no scenes. I said, boy, you might as well hush right now. I said, Daddy, stop now. He's like, listen to me, boy. He said, I'm 48 years old. I've been going to church my whole daggum life. I ain't never kissed a preacher's ring, and it dang sure ain't about to start today. So my daddy headbutted the ring on the way out.
That's awesome.
And that, my friends, was the end of my ability to go to Notre Dame.
The great Ed Tanner. And I'm glad that that ended your ability to go to Notre Dame, because you ended up here in Athens.
Yeah, it was great, man. We had a great trip. We were up there. We go out to the game, though. And it was November. When we left Atlanta, it was like 68 degrees, about like it is today. Felt nice outside. Up there, man, it's like 31 and windy. And they're like rolling their sleeves. Oh, such beautiful weather for this time of year.
Well, hold on.
Like my little girl, they had like the blue and gold girls that like walked around like Georgia girls here. No lie, my girl took her scarf and mittens off and gave it to me because I was dying. She's like, oh, this is wonderful. You know, they're all hearty up there.
So how long after that trip when you got back to Wrightsville and everything was normal back in the world, did you decide to go and pull the trigger, commit to Georgia?
So I committed to Georgia in January. That was fall of 2000.
Okay, so a few months later.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like a month before signing day. Pollock and I committed about the same time, actually.
When you got back from South Bend, how prevalent was Notre Dame in continuously recruiting you afterwards?
Oh, they recruited me to the end. Okay. Yeah, they were to the very end. They recruited me very hard, but you know, I mean, I knew at the end of the day they were just too far away, man. It was a beautiful campus. Loved it up there. It was really great. It honestly was. It's just too far away, man. The caravan of Tanners wasn't going to load up and drive to South Bend every weekend. So
you didn't get those flights paid for every weekend.
No, it didn't work like that. So
golly, that is
fantastic.
Crazy. That's good stuff. So y'all flew from Atlanta to South Bend, and then I guess the next day y'all flew back to Atlanta and then drove back. That's a long weekend there.
Long weekend, baby.
Yeah. Where else did you go for your officials?
I went Georgia Tech.
Yep.
Clemson, Florida, Notre Dame, and Georgia.
Okay.
So I took all five.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I know.
Good
hey,
for
look,
you. Should.
You liked Florida, too, didn't you? You like Coach Spurrier.
I did.
Yeah.
Spurrier's cool, man.
Yeah.
You know, I was a Florida coach. I know we hate him. Guy, he's awful. Evil. Sorry.
Yeah,
Florida's the worst
evil,
ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, Spurrier was real cool.
We've had the conversation. If Spurrier was ours, we'd be kissing the statue every weekend. So, yeah, it's one of those things.
No, I agree. I totally agree.
Well, we're glad you ended up at Georgia, Russ. We're glad to have you on this show every Friday in football season. So I'm glad that Notre Dame made you or asked you to kiss the ring.
Yeah.
That may be the turning point.
Awesome. Well, I know my day looked at him, and I think his exact words were, nyawp. I was like, nyawp. How you spell nyawp? He's like, you know what I mean. It don't matter how I spell it. Nyawp.
I just say the great Ed Tanner. That's E-D-D, right?
Ed with two Ds.
Love it. Absolutely love it. All right, hang on. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and wrap things up with Jerry Clower here in the studio with us.
Easy. Yeah. That is royalty.
That is. You love Jerry Clower.
Love him.
Yeah, he is. He's awesome. That's what it reminds me of. It's awesome stuff. All right, it is. What time is it?
8:50.
From Sanford Stadium to Stegman Coliseum to Foley Field, we've got the dogs covered. Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref.
All right, this is where we take that trip around the SEC, and it's brought to you by Dr. Pepper, the official drink of Fansville. Just want to mention that you can have your picture taken with the National Championship Trophy coming up later today at a couple of area locations. The Walmart on the Atlanta Highway in Winder from noon till 2 today, and then the Walmart just down the road here from us on Epps Bridge Parkway from 3 until 5, National Championship Trophy. Russ Tanner, great stuff as always. We appreciate you. We got just like a couple of minutes, and I know we've at this point of the week, the hay is in the barn.
Yeah, we talked about it, baby.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
yeah.
time to put the women and children to bed. Yeah. The hay is in the barn. You know, time to go.
For the players, the coaches,
time to get this bread.
Yeah.
You know? So, we'll see.
And the advantage is Georgia because they're at home. They're getting ready. I guess Notre Dame's leaving. You know, they're traveling today. And, you know, they got a long day and they got to get ready. And
yep.
it's going to be a long day tomorrow. When you guys played in those big night games, were those
long
were those tough
hated
for
them.
You?
Yeah, hated them.
Yeah.
It just messes your day up. It's a lot of laying around because, you know, you gotta toe the line between not being a, you know, a big old pile of slime all day just sitting on the bed to also not wanting to do too much to wear yourself out. But, you know, it's a science with these guys now. They'll be ready, man. I have no concern about the team being ready, being focused, going there. Just according, you know, hopefully the ball doesn't bounce their way, things
yep.
we can't control. You know, Kirby has got the team to the point where they will control the controllables. The things that Georgia can do well, they will come out ready to roll with it. And you know what? Expect Notre Dame to be prepared. They're a smart team. They're well coached. Brian Kelly is a heck of a football coach. So they're going to be ready. It's just a matter of can they withstand the amount of physical pressure the University of Georgia is going to put on them tomorrow night.
Will it be similar to what they had to deal with Clemson last year in the playoff?
I mean, the physical on offense, Georgia's offense is more physical than Clemson's was.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Clemson had a special cat in Trevor Lawrence last year. I mean, that's just different. And their defense line, Pollock talked about earlier, defense line having pressured. Clemson's defense was all time last year, man.
Ooh, that front.
I mean, they're just nasty with it.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, it doesn't matter, man. If you're talking about the University of Georgia versus Notre Dame, you know, tomorrow night, it doesn't matter if you're talking about my 6-year-old and 8-year-old Titans playing the Stonehenge Panthers on Sunday. The team that wins the line of scrimmage wins the football game.
Yeah.
The team, if you win the line of scrimmage and don't turn the ball over, you win the football game.
That's preach the key.
So,
preach.
That's you know. The key. Line of scrimmage, don't turn it over. Russ, awesome today.
Thank you
very
sir.
Much, and appreciate you snagging Pollock for us as well.
Peace be with y'all. Down with Notre Dame.
Yeah. Ed Tanner, nice to meet you. All right, fourth and final hour coming up next. It's 8:57.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.